Good morning, it's good to be back here at Black Creek. It was a blessing to be on that trip. You know, before we went, I had reservations myself if this was of God or it's just something that man wants to do. And I learned pretty quickly it was of God. I mean, it was pretty evident just how smooth everything went. I've traveled quite a bit. I've never had travels go as smooth. I've never had everything so set up and so, just perfect. And the messages and the people and the lives that were touched, and I mean, just the meeting of friends and making friends, and everything was absolutely paid for. Not one dime came out of my pocket. Not one penny came out of our pocket for that trip of 11 days. I think we were out there 11 days. And not one bit of it did we have to pay for. Housing, food, gas, I mean, you name it. And the Lord provided every bit of that for us. And not only so, but I was also able to get the money up to be able to buy my diploma. You got to pay $200, they send you a diploma. So I was able to raise enough money for that as well and have enough money left over for half of my doctorate. So, I got to come over about half of the payment to start my doctorate. I'm not going to start it until I have that money because I right now we're just making payments wouldn't be well. But, I mean, what a blessing to have those that go out there and just trust the Lord. And there's a lot of energy out there doing that. There's a lot of unknowns. There's a lot of things me and my wife learned. There's a lot of things I would do differently. There's a lot of things I would say differently. There's just a lot of things that I would handle differently, but I would not have known if I didn't go out there. And so pray for us because we're in a transition. Me and my family are in a transition time right now. Lord is doing things differently. And he's doing things differently with my notes. I'm trying to transition from, writing everything down to getting just a few good bullet points that the Lord had me and then go off of. That's been hard for me because for almost five some odd years, that's how I've been preaching. And but the Lord's going to have to just work with me on that and give me that and show me the more time I spend. I talked to Pastor about it. And he told me the more time you spend in your Bible, the better. And I believe that. And so we're just going through a whole bunch of transitions. We got home Thursday. I went to work. I went back into the jail that Thursday night. I was able to share with them the trip. And then I was able to share with them a message the Lord gave me for them about our choice. I had a guy challenge me. When I was in jail before I left, and he said, well, why did God at 16 years old make me an addict? That was his challenge to me. And the Lord gave me a message saying that wasn't God's choice, that was his. Okay, that's his choice to do that. God didn't make me a gang member. God didn't make me a drug addict or alcoholic or any of that stuff. That was my choice. I'd done that myself. There became a point in time in my life where I became a man, I had my own decisions to make. I made those choices. God did not. He made the opposite choice. He died for me to give me a better life, a more abundant life, and I chose to reject that. And so God had to open my eyes on that, but I had him challenge me that, so I preached that message on it being our choice of why we are where we are today. It's our choice. And that God, if you don't know God, if he thinks that he done that to you, you have no clue who God is. Amen. And see, that's the stuff you have to deal with in these jails. So I went back Thursday night, and I started using that message, and I'm not going to mention names or anything else, but I had one guy come under such conviction that he broke down in the middle of the service, and he just said, my conscience is killing me. He said, because I have, he's a drug dealer, and he's giving out dirty drugs, and he's got three bodies on him. He says, it's killing my conscience. And so the Lord gave me a message for that man right there on the spot. I didn't give him the Romans order, pray nothing. But the Lord gave me a message for that man right there on the spot. You can see the Lord was dealing with him on that spot. He dealt with him. The guy understood. Dealing with murderers is not dealing with church people. Dealing with convicts is not like dealing with church people. Some church people have a background. Some people have a little bit of a foundation you can try to build off. Not all, but some. These people here have none of that. Okay? These are hardened criminals. You know the ones that you would call the police on? Those are the ones that the Lord has sent me to. The ones you don't want around your children or your wife, those are the ones the Lord has sent me to. That drug dealer that's on the corner giving people that bad dope, that's the ones the Lord has sent me to. He's the one who's giving me those messages for those people. And I said, sir, the problem is your conscience is killing you. He goes, how many more have I killed that I don't know about? How many more? How many fathers, he said? How many mothers? How many daughters? How many sons have I done that to? He goes, it's just killing me. And I just gave him the message that the Lord put on my heart. I had nothing prepared, I promise you. And the Lord just gave me the words to speak. And I sat there for about 40 minutes. I dealt with that man. Did he get saved? No. But you know what happened, Pastor? The Lord opened the door for him to be able to see some things. Amen. He can see differently now. Now there's a door open for God to work where that door was closed before. Amen. If you know anything about convicts or inmates or anything like that, they don't just come out and tell people that. I'm just telling you that right now. They're all not guilty. Every single person in jail and prison is not guilty. Okay? And they'll tell you that. That changed. You know why that changed? Because the word of God went forth and it did not return void. Not because of Dale Moore, because of the word of God was preached. That's what happened. And so today I want to share a little bit with you. The trip was great. We're glad to be home. We're transitioning into some things. I think, you know, Tim McVeigh said it right. He says, you're going to get home, you're going to run off adrenaline. He goes, about Saturday, you're just going to collapse. And that was it. Saturday, we were just done. Amy, you know, fell asleep in the recliner. I took two or three naps that day. I mean, we were just finished. That was 11 days out there. I mean, we traveled over 2,000 miles all together. And it was a trip. And but I don't regret it for one hot second. I loved it. I absolutely enjoyed the fellowship, meeting some new people. And what a blessing that we were able to get some support. We have monthly support coming in now from other churches. At least one other church for sure. Okay? And so that was, what a blessing that is. And I thank God for, you know, for what him opening those doors for us. And so I've been going through a battle this morning. Bad battle. And I talked to the pastor about it. And for whatever reason, I'm just having a hard time being up here. So if you hear me stuttering and all that, it's just going on right now. It's a battle you got to go through. Be ready, in and out of season. You got to be ready to preach, in and out of season. Neil, if I could have you please stand up and please pray for me to do this service, I would be greatly appreciated. Amen. Thank you. If you would, please turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And so I just want to give you something. The Lord gave me this message while I was down at Brother Tim's house, and I was up at, you know, I usually get up about 4 o'clock in the morning, and the Lord gave me this message while I was there, and I knew it was for today. And so I'm going to share it with you, 1 Samuel, and we're going to start in verse 1, and I'm going to read the, you know, I'm going to read the first 10 verses, and 1 Samuel chapter 3. Did I say that? Yes. 1 Samuel 3. My wife, she's saying something and I can't hear her. 1 Samuel 3, verse 1 through 10. So we're going to start in verse 1. And it says, I want you to notice the very first verse where it says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. How about it? When the word of the Lord was precious at one time. I'm just telling you today, for the travelings that I've been around, the word of the Lord is not precious anymore in the churches. I've been around for the last couple of years, traveling up and down the East Coast, going to camp meetings and all that. I'm just telling you, it's not precious in these days anymore. People have lost that. But what I want you to notice is, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. At a first glance, you'd say, boy, this Samuel, he sure knows the Lord. He's worshiping God. Well, let's go on. Let's start in verse 2. Verse 2, and it says, and it came to pass that at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes begun to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli. And he said, here am I, for thou calledest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. Verse 6, and the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not. My son, lie down again. And Samuel did not yet know the Lord. How about that? He did not know yet the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Verse 8, and the Lord called Samuel, and again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli, and he said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Verse 9, and Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if thou shalt call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Verse 10, and the Lord came and stood and called as the other time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. This shows that people can claim they know the voice of the Lord, but have no clue who he is. They can't recognize the voice of God. They can't recognize, because today's day and age, the word is not precious to people anymore. And they can't hear the voice of God because the voice of man is so loud, and they have not yet turned that down. Now, when you start reading this, you go, boy, Samuel, he really ministered unto God. Boy, yeah, he knows what he's... Boy, he looks real wonderful in there. And then you read down farther, he has no clue what the voice of God is. No clue who he is. He doesn't understand what's even being said. He ran to a what? Man. Hello, I'm just telling you. After traveling this week, I see people who are running to man. Forget God. We don't need God. We got man. Man's traditions... Man's commandments, man's doctrine, and they've forgotten about God. They've forgotten about his word. They can't hear his voice anymore. They don't recognize the voice of God. Turn with me to John 10. Go with me to John 10. And I want to show you here what Jesus is dealing with people here. John 10. We're going to start in verse 24 to go through 28. John 10, verse 24, and it says, Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How dost thou make us doubt? Let me just say this real quick. If you're having doubts, it's not from Jesus Christ. It's from yourself. Okay? Jesus Christ is not going to make you doubt. You know what's going to make you doubt is you know that you don't believe what the Word of God says. That's what's going to make you doubt. Here he's saying, Why are you making us doubt? Here's how he deals with it. Let's see what Jesus says. And it says, verse 24, let me finish. If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered him, I told you, ye believe not. You see that? They're doubting because they don't believe. And then it goes on and it says, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Jesus makes it clear, if you doubt, then you're not his because you can't hear his word. You can't recognize his voice. People, listen, there's people in the church pews today who claim that they are Christians who cannot hear the voice of God. They don't understand what it's saying to them. They have no clue who's talking to them, but they can hear the voice of man very clearly. Okay? They can hear those traditions. They can hear what man is trying to say to them, but the Word of God is not an important thing in their life. It should be the most important thing in our life. This is what's going to teach us. This is what's going to bring us. This is what's going to bring belief that we can believe this Bible. If you're a lost person in here, you're not going to believe it outside of a King James Bible. I'm sorry, I don't believe in that. Born again by the incorruptible seed, not corruptible, by the word of God. That's what it says. So if there's an incorruptible seed, then there's a corruptible one out there. Let me tell you, there's more than one out there. Jesus makes it clear if you doubt, then you're not his and you will not hear his word, nor will you recognize it as his word and will not understand or do what it says. Do you listen to what a stranger tells you to do? No, you don't. So then that voice that you're hearing is probably a stranger. It's not God. Because if you knew it was God, then you'd do what he said. How about that? You're not going to sit there and let some stranger come up to you and tell you what to do, and you're not going to go out there and do it. So that little voice you're hearing in your ear, because you're not doing it, because it's not God, it's a stranger. You don't recognize the voice of God. You can't recognize the voice of God outside that King James Bible. That's how God is going to deal with us. This is why people close them up and they don't want nothing to do with it. This is why they become bookmarkers and door jam holders and all that stuff. I see people touring them around all the time. They have no clue about them. They don't get in there and study. You know why? Because they'll sit there and let man do it for them. You know, when you're learning stuff, you got to go back and check this stuff. Because you're going to get the thoughts of man. That's what you're going to get. People are caught up in the commentaries and dictionaries and all that, and that's how they think they're learning doctrine. There's a doctrine in your Bible, and Brother Mike hit on this. There's a doctrine in your Bible that the Spirit of God wants to teach you and you alone. But you won't sit down with it. How are you going to hear it? How are you going to recognize God's voice? You're not. 1 Samuel 3:7 says, Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And these are the people that are filling the church pews today in Baptist churches. And they're claiming salvation. They have a form of godliness but cannot recognize, hear, or understand the word of God. 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Let me just turn. There's quite a few verses to read. If you want to listen and mark them down and go check them. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 7. It says, This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Talking about people who say they're Christians. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. How about that? Despiser, man, I'm just telling you, you run into them all the time. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep in the houses and lead silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. Those diverse lusts, you know, the monies and the power and the honor of man, those are the lusts that people desire. Those are what people want. That's what they desire to have in their heart. It says in verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And I was caught in that trap before I got saved. I'm telling you, you know this. We learned the Bible pretty good before we got saved, didn't we? We ever learned and were never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know why? We couldn't hear the voice of God. We didn't recognize it. It didn't make sense to our hearts. It didn't make sense to our minds. It didn't make sense. We weren't looking what God wants to look at. You know what, how I got saved? Y'all know my past testimony. I may have said this before here. But I got saved because I realized that I was a rebel. You go, well, look at your life. How couldn't you know that? Because I knew I was a rebel to mankind. I knew I was a lawbreaker here, but I had no clue I was a rebel against the Holy God. That's where I had to come to. That's where I had to come. I had to come to a point where I understood and I see myself a rebel against the Holy God, that He was the one that I was sinning against. Yeah, I'd done a lot of wrong against mankind, but I was a rebel against the Holy God. I was sinning against Him. And that's when I got saved. That's when I got saved, is when I realized that. And I got down on my knees, and God held that before me. He goes, Dale, you've always been this, and you'll never change without me. And I knew, and I understood that, Pastor. That night at 90 and a half East Main Street is what I was shown. That was a rebel against a holy God. I played church very well many times. But you know, I didn't hear the voice of God. I heard Him at 90 and a half East Main Street 6 years ago this October. I heard it clear as day when I got saved. I understood it for the first time in my life. I understood what it was to hear His voice. And I thank God for His mercy and His grace towards me. People must be taught to recognize the voice of the Lord over the doctrines and traditions of man. Many sitting in the church pews have let go of the Word of God and have replaced it with traditions and convictions of man's and learnings and doctrines of man. That's what we're holding on to. Everybody's letting go of the Word of God. Believe me, I see it in the churches. I've been out there and I've been observant. And I've been seeing what is missing in these churches today. And it's the Word of God. It's the voice of God talking to people. When you can hear it, things happen in your life. When you hear the Bible, when you understand that God is teaching you and showing, it makes you a different person. Why else? Hey, could you imagine a God who saved me and left me the same person I've always been? What a miserable God that would be. But He doesn't. You start hearing His voice and things start changing in your life.
Amen.
You know why? Because God says, here, now you can hear me. You know why? Because you're mine. Now you're one of mine. Now you can hear what I have to say to you. My ears have been circumcised. My heart's been circumcised. He says, here's my word now. Listen to what I have to tell you. God have mercy. 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 through 5. It says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of the ministry. Churches are full of these because nobody is teaching the saved or lost to discern the voice of God. It's not being done anymore in the churches. That's why you have people who are sitting in the pews and they're floundering. Because nobody's taking the time to teach them what it sounds like to hear God. How about it? For 40 years, do you think I heard the voice of God? Listen, I sat in the pew right there next to Amy for 4 years not hearing the voice of God. I could see it on the pages, but I had no clue what it was saying to me. And God had to work that. It didn't come easy for me. I was in the birth canal for a week before that evangelist came in, and I knew I was. I was having a terrible time in my life. It was horrible. The depression was darker than I've ever been in. I didn't recognize it at the time. And when that man got up here and preached, I understood. That's it. I went home out of here. I got saved that night. But you imagine, Tim, imagine if I rejected that and just left out of here and didn't want nothing to do with that, where I'd be today. Pastor, remember 10 years ago you told Amy, in 10 years your husband Dale's going to be dead if he doesn't change. How about it? I'm getting healthier. I'm getting smaller. Everything has changed in my life. How about it? You know why? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, I'll be a new creature. I'll be a new person.
Amen.
Isn't that hearing the voice of the Lord? Isn't that hearing the voice of God making me what I am today? I could never do this. Look at my track record. There's something I could never do. This is something that I could never drum up myself. I've read Bibles before. I studied King James Bible as a lost person. I studied NIVs, ESVs. I studied Islam, the Quran. I knew all that stuff. Ask my wife, I can quote it to her. I can quote the surahs out of it. I knew the Buddhist little rituals they did and smoked peace pipe with Indians in prison. I did all that. And not a bit of it ever changed me until I heard the voice of God. Oh, how about that? It should be precious in our sight. This should be a precious thing in our life. This is what's going to bring it to fruition. How's God going to deal with us? Right here. How are we going to hear his voice or learn what it says? Right here. Religious, unsaved, or saved, how can they learn to recognize the voice of the Lord? Someone has to slowly teach them the word of God and for them to recognize the voice of God over the voice of man. Turn back to 1 Samuel. I'm not going to get everything done here, but my point will be made. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Let's go on. I want to read verses 8 through 10. I want you to see what I just said. Verse 8 says, And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli, and he said, Here am I. For thou didst call me. Eli perceived that the Lord had called. We need a man of God to be able to get up here and discern what's being taught, what's being said, what needs to be said. He needs to be able to hear. You see, Eli understood that. He said, oh, the Lord's calling this guy. The Lord's calling this woman. We need a man of God that can get up here and discern that. Okay? Verse 8 says that. And then it goes on and it says, verse 9, there Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. It will take a called, separated man of God who can recognize and understand what has to be done for these people to hear, like Eli did for Samuel. With patience, he instructs him on what he should hear, and not only what he should hear, but how he should respond when he does hear it. That's what we need a pastor for. That's what we need the men of God, the evangelists, the Sunday school teachers. You teaching these kids how to hear the voice of God? You teaching them? Are they going to be able to recognize it when that time comes? And if so, are they going to be able to respond to it? How about it? Our Sunday school children, that should be an important thing if you're a Sunday school teacher. Your heart should be broke over these kids. Because nobody's yet taught them how to hear the voice of God. Are we going to be the ones to do it? How about it? I understand. Yeah, I get tangled up in this. I can give my kids verses and memorization. I can make them read their Bible every day and so on and so forth. But am I teaching them how to hear what that is saying?
Come on.
You can know a million verses. And listen, how many verses did me and you know? Still lost and dying and going to hell. I knew. I had knowledge. I had plenty of it. And I was going to die and go to hell. I don't want my kids to have Bible knowledge. I want them to start recognizing the voice of God so they can get saved when God calls them to get saved, and then how to respond to it. Deacons, trustees, pastors, music leaders, servants of the church, are we teaching people to hear the voice of God anymore? We're all guilty if not. Hey, listen, the Lord teaches me these things before it comes to you. Conviction comes in my heart of what I've been missing, what I haven't been doing. This is something I'm pointing at you. I'm just sharing with you because you're my brothers and my sisters.
Amen.
We can help each other that way. It's what it's supposed to be. It's not like that, though. You go ahead and step out of Black Creek Baptist Church and you'll see how different it really is. Believe me, you. You'll see how different it really is. With patience, he instructs them on how to hear and how to respond. Isaiah 28, 9 and 10 says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and are drawn from the breast." Verse 10 says, "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little." A man of God stood up here for 4 years doing that to me, and I got brought under a Holy Ghost conviction by doing what that Bible said. That's a lost art today. Who's teaching line upon line, precept upon precept? Who's doing it? Nobody has the patience anymore. In order to be a bishop, you know what it says? It says that you have to have your house, a husband and one wife, okay? But it also says that a man must be patient. Mm-hmm. Bishops aren't pastors aren't patient anymore today. They want to run everybody through the Romans road, run through some prayer, and make them a twofold child of hell. Where is that patience? That's a disqualification of them being a pastor. They do not qualify to be a pastor if they're not going to be patient and let the Spirit of God work in them and not man. You see, man comes through with their doctrines. Man comes through with their little easy believism, and they're sending people to hell. Let me just say this. We can't pick and choose the Word of God. It is. It says what it says. We have to take it at face value. We take it for what it says. And if it says that a man of God, a pastor, should be someone who's patient, how about giving the hospitality? You go find another pastor that's going to bring a stinky old person in their house, a smelly, nasty old convict who smells like cigarettes and everything else, and put their arm around them and love them and want to take care of them and pray with them. You tell me, who's doing it? Who? We're holy Christians. Yeah, I see it. I've seen it enough. I've seen it enough, and I'm not very long in Christianity, okay? I've only been in it 6 years. And let me just tell you this. If I wasn't saved, I wouldn't want what people have today in churches. You got nothing to offer me. I got to go inside a prison, and I got to tell these people that the life that Jesus Christ wants to give them is better than what they have. You go tell that to a drug dealer who's making $5,000-$6,000 a day. You go tell them that. All the women, all the cars, all everything wants. Hey, Jesus has a better life for you. How about it? Anybody else in here dealing with murderers? Just want to ask you. Rapists? You see this? I promise you with everything I am, the only way they're ever going to hear anything is through here. You know what? I listened to my pastor. He had wisdom. When I was a lost person. But Pastor Hayne, I seen Jesus Christ in somebody for the first time in my life, and it was in that man. If anybody in prison or jail or on the streets or anywhere else is ever going to get saved, they better see Jesus in you. How about are they coming to you? Are they desiring what you have? I desired what my pastor had. I desired it. I would sit there and pray, Lord, I want what he has. I want what he has. How about it? Is there anybody praying tonight that you know of that wants what you have? You know why? You're not hearing the voice of God. Just saying. This is a slow, patient process. One must look back at the lives of the ones that are learning. We have to, it's a slow process. We can't go into, I don't go in there beating people up over what kind of Bibles they bring in. I just don't do that because I want them there. I want the Spirit of God to deal with them. Pastor, it can never be me going in there pounding them out about their NIVs and all that. And they're chasing them away. Then guess what? That's somebody who won't hear the truth. But you know what? Man, in about a month and a half's time, I went through almost two cases of King James Bibles because just sitting there sharing the Word of God with them, they said, I have the wrong Bible. Can you get me a King James Bible? Yeah, I sure can. You know what? Do they believe everything in it? Did they get saved? No. Patience. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. Teaching them to hear the voice of the Lord. And you know what? That's not the only thing I deal with, Pastor. How about all the other churches going in there? You don't think they're hearing them voices? Yes, they are. Who's going to come out on top? The voice of God or the voice of man? That's what it's all about. That's what it's about. You got to teach them. You got to make them discern. How are they going to discern that? And then we have to look at their life and look back at where these people have come from. Me, I'm not a perfect churchgoer. You're right. I can't do it right. But you look at my past and look what God is doing to me. Give him some time to teach me. Have some patience with me. Let me learn. You weren't a criminal for all those years. How about it? Let God teach me. You got to be patient. There's no patience for people anymore. But I have a King James Bible that can teach anybody anything. But the people who call themselves Christians, it says love one another. Those that are low self-esteem, and I'm going to misquote this. He says we're all one body, but those that are the lowest should be esteemed the most. That doesn't happen in churches anymore. Oh, did you hear what the voice of God said? He said esteem those better than yourself. Oh. We can't sit here and claim that we heard the voice of God and that we listened to what the Bible says and then just throw it out, cast it out because it means nothing. Guilty. Hey, I told you, who got this message? Me. Here I'm on the road. I have responsibility to my children, the safety, everything that's going on, messages and everything else. And here God is tearing me apart in the middle of it. But you know what, Tanya? I would have never seen it. I would have never heard it if I wasn't there. I put a title on this message, and I got to be done here in a minute. It's called Hearing But Not Recognizing. Hearing but not recognizing the voice of men. Listen, the Christians today, after they're traveling and seeing everything for years, I can see it's so obvious that they're just not hearing the voice of God anymore. It's out the door. It's gone. People come to church to do church things. If we put the Word of God first above all things, everything else will fall in place. You ever wonder why things can't fall in place in this church? Because the Word of God is trying to take second place. It's not going to happen.
Amen.
Things will stay a mess in this church until everybody gets the Word of God where it needs to be. Till everybody can start hearing that voice. Till everybody can start praying again for each other and start loving each other. Then God can slowly teach. Then it'll come in order. It's not going to happen overnight. But we need to hear. We need to be apt to listen. We got to listen. So many people hit plateaus in their Christian life and they think that's it. They hang their whole Christian life on some victories in the past. That's what their whole future is built on. They got some victories in the past and so now their whole future is just built on those victories. And so they stay on that plateau, never changing, just staying the same always. I'm going to close with this. It's almost impossible. I know it's impossible. It's impossible to sit underneath the Word of God and something not happen to you. There's one of two things. Either, number one, you say the one who wrote the Bible is living inside of you. Then you mean to tell me he can't change you with his word? The one who wrote it is living inside of you. And you mean to tell me that he can't change you with it? Well, then maybe you're just missing it.
Amen.
Maybe it's not in you. Maybe it's not in your heart. Maybe it's not there. Maybe it's time to check that. Maybe it's time to get there and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's a serious matter. And Paul put it in there for us to do that. You know why? Because we don't hear the voice all the time. And if you're a saved person in here, who are you listening to? I would hope that everybody in this room could go out there and hear the voice of God over the voice of man. Because otherwise, nothing's ever going to fall in place. It's never going to be right without hearing the voice of God. The voice of God has to be unleashed in people's life. It has to be unleashed in their heart. They have to learn that. But if nobody's given the opportunity to hear it, guess what? This is where we're going to stay. So I just ask, as a family of God, all of us are all brothers and sisters. And that, if that's what you all claim that you're saved to, we're all brothers and sisters. You know what? It's time that we start praying that we can start hearing the voice of God again. It's time to bring the voice of God back to Black Creek Baptist Church, in your Sunday schools, in the trustees, in the deacons, in the servants of the church. Every single one of us are responsible for every single one, each in here, okay? God says, love one another. Let's get back into hearing the voice of God. And I'm done, Pastor.
Pastor Haney, I just want to say this.